If you ever felt like the people that were running your country were a little too old, I would like to introduce you to this gentleman here, Paul Biya, President of Cameroon. And this lovely young buck has just celebrated his 92nd birthday. A mere couple of months after his 92nd birthday, he announced that he'd also be running for an 8th presidential term, which would take him all the way till the age of 99. Now, obviously Cameroon is not the only country that has this problem. Politicians have been getting older and older in a whole load of different countries, and many, many more wealthy countries are not immune from this problem. In the US, a third of senators are 70 years old or older. They were literally born at a time when homes didn't have color TVs. Microwaves had just been invented, and the Democrats have actually lost a few quite key votes because the senators that would have pushed them over a majority died of like old age related diseases. So the situation is dire. Whether you're in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, or in North America, we are being held hostage by the elderly, and they are making all of our lives worse. I don't want to just rag on old people. There are obviously like plenty of jobs where experience is important and valuable, and old age comes in clutch. But that is not the world that we live in objectively, okay? We're forced to admit it like time and time again. Especially anytime you hear someone who is a government official talk about technology.
Can you tell me right now with 100% certainty that TikTok does not use the phone's camera to determine whether the content that elicits a pupil dilation should be amplified by the algorithm?
The only face data that you get that we collect is when you use the filters to have, say, sunglasses on your face. We need to know where your eyes are.
Why do you need to know what the eyes are if you're not seeing if they're dilated?
Has TikTok at any time fed precise GPS information collected from U.S. users into algorithms?
Mr. Chu, does TikTok access the home Wi-Fi network?
But clips like this are the reason why people have had less and less faith in elder statesmen to lead us. And somehow, it seems like the politicians that do get elected seem to be getting older and older every year. The US is currently on track to have had two of its oldest presidents ever in a row. I mean, the first question I asked myself, right, when I saw this is, how did these guys get into power? And how are these guys the people who decide the technology laws that end up affecting the rest of the world when they clearly don't understand even the very basics of what they're legislating? And in some cases are literally like in the middle of a dementia episode as they're passing these laws, or they're dying on the way to the Capitol. Outside of technology, this is still a huge issue. Housing reform, labor market reform, and fixing pensions are just not that important when you're not going to be around in another 20 years to see through the outcomes of your decisions. And it's a real big issue. The overwhelming majority of people in America, 75%, are in favor of having some kind of term limit for their politicians. But this is obviously never going to get implemented when a third of the Senate is over the age of 70. And yet, these people seem to keep winning elections. Part of it is obviously just the fact that people are pretty old in general now. And the older you are, the more likely you are to turn out and actually vote in an election. But I don't think that's necessarily like a completely convincing explanation. There are countries that have even higher life expectancies in the US and yet have much younger leaders. For me, the key in the US comes down to campaign financing, right? So in 2010, the Supreme Court basically greenlit unlimited spending on elections. And since then, it's gone absolutely insane. Billions are invested into every election. And the only people who can win now are those people who have access to those billions of dollars of capital, which are the oldest, right? They're boomers. You can actually check how much money is spent in elections on Open Secrets. So $200 million was invested into electing the next Texas senator. $140 million across all candidates was spent in Ohio. $123 million in Montana. And individual candidates raised over $100 million for their elections, which is completely unfeasible if you're 35, for example. But yes, we can look at countries that do have younger leaders, like France, which I think is a good example. And they are not actually faring that much better. And to be honest, I think are just as bad when it comes to being held hostage by the elderly. France is a bit of a unique case because their leader isn't even 50 years old. And yet that hasn't done anything to rebalance the shift towards providing for the elderly and for no one else, because pensioners in France now have higher incomes than working age adults. France has a really weird pension structure, which is incredibly generous to people who are about to retire or have already retired, but places the entire burden on the youngest people. The people who are currently working earn less than people who have actually retired. It's mad. So they can retire at like 62 years old, which is like 5 years younger than other countries in the area, like Germany. It's a nice thing, I guess. It's a nice thing for people to not have to work until they die. But unfortunately, it is not free because it is paid by the taxes of younger people who are still in the workforce and who won't be able to benefit from the same privilege. Or it's funded by government borrowing. And France has tried to change this situation to bring themselves closer in line with other countries and to maybe bump the retirement age a little bit further up, so young people can buy assets and things like that. And when you try to increase the retirement age in France, you get scenes like this, right? Very understandably, because nobody wants to lose anything that they were promised. If you've been working for 30 plus years already and you've been promised you'll be able to retire at 62, you're not going to give that up to protect some nebulous idea of the younger generation. You're going to be like, bitch, give me my money. It's so controversial that it's led the French government to collapse multiple times anytime they tried to scale back these benefits. Everyone is actually like out for themselves because they see how rough the world has been getting and they want to cash out before the cookie crumbles. I was reading some descriptions of the French pension system and I think this professor actually put it really well. He says that every country has its sacred cows. In France, altering the pension age is very much a sacred cow. To give you other examples of sacred cows, in the US, it's the mere mention of any public involvement in healthcare, when you get instant shouts of communism and socialism. In Britain, it's the slightest hint of private delivery in the NHS, and you promptly get cries of betraying all of the principles of the NHS. France has gotten itself in the situation where it's really, really attached to the idea of being able to retire relatively young, but they're so attached to the system that they're willing to sacrifice the well-being of the young now to satisfy the elderly. They've decided to place the burden basically entirely on the youth and keep passing the buck until eventually it reaches breaking point and eventually they can't borrow any more money to fund these pensions. And I don't want to just blame the boomers here, to be fair, because there was pretty widespread discontent amongst all age groups at this idea of pension reform. I think people see pension reform as like taking money from like your grandma. But the reality is that boomers have had decades to get ahead and they are doing pretty well on average. In France, the average age of a new car buyer is 54 years old. The only people with disposable income are the elderly. Sooner or later, these situations do reach breaking point. When the youth have to pay far too much into the system and get far too little in return, then you end up in situations where things begin to crack. And you can actually see that in other countries that have more extreme demographics. The best example is Nepal, which is a country that has an incredibly hard flag and incredibly hard people as well. If you've not been following the news, Nepal has been going through a bit of turmoil lately. I'm going to give you like a speedrun version of what happened. Basically, people got really annoyed that the ruling elite and their kids were flexing on social media while youth unemployment was skyrocketing. And they started this online movement complaining about Nepo kids. The government responded by banning Facebook, YouTube, and 23 other social media platforms. This did not go well, right? If you're gonna create an economic system where the young don't feel like they have anything to look forward to, and then you take away like the things they do have to look forward to, which is doom scrolling, then you're basically building a recipe for disaster. Which is what happened. Gen Z started to protest, and the protesters ended up torching the parliament and taking over the state. They then elected a new leader via Discord. And the craziest part of all of this is that it happened in the space of 3 days. This is what happens when you get to breaking point. And there are some good reasons why this happened in Nepal specifically, as opposed to any other country. Nepal has some crazy demographics. The median age is 25 years old, while their leader was in his mid-70s. Youth unemployment was running at like 21%, and they are like one of the most corrupt countries in the world as well. They reached the point where young people were struggling to afford the basics, but opening social media and seeing the sons and daughters and nephews and nieces of the president in, you know, Dubai and then in Paris and then in London, while they couldn't even get any work. To put it in perspective, like how badly young people in Nepal were screwed over, 28% of their economy was made up of remittances, which is money that's sent from citizens that have left to work abroad. So literally like almost 1/3 of their economy was made up of people sending money back home from abroad. They had to go work in pretty horrendous conditions in the Middle East, for example, to make a living, or go to China or India to try and find a job, and couldn't do anything at home. In countries like France or the US, where people still live like quite good lives by international standards, and the youth aren't necessarily the majority, it's a lot harder to push through any reform that doesn't immediately benefit the elderly, because they basically just have a stranglehold on the political system. But in these cases, when the youth population actually begins to grow, which it's doing every year as the boomers begin to die off, they begin to feel empowered, at least, right? And they actually seem to think that they can make a difference. And when you take it to the extreme, like in Nepal, where over half the country is like under 30, then you get a pretty aggressive revolution. This actually seems to be like a little bit of a worldwide trend in these countries that have a large youth population, but are ran by people in their 70s and 80s. They're finally feeling like they have enough support and there are enough of them together to be able to make a change and stand up. And I think the reason we haven't seen this situation in wealthier countries is because A, there are a relatively small amount of young people compared to the number of boomers, and B, like, I guess the quality of life is still too good. People still have Instagram reels and TikTok, and they still can get McDonald's and Wendy's or something. And I think there are really only two options, right? You can try and implement real reform now that'll make sure that the youngest people actually feel like they have something to look forward to in the future. Or you can keep on passing the buck until their material conditions have reached such breaking point that it's worth standing up for what you believe in and actually protesting in the streets, because the potential reward of doing that is way higher than the potential reward of just letting things get worse. And nobody can tell you exactly where that inflection point is, but it's on its way. It's on its way, I'll tell you that much at least.